Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 64 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
Very good.
I feel quite honoured because we are in the room where it all happens, the magic happens.
You're in my cupboard.
Yeah. We're in your little therapy office, aren't we?
Yeah. This is the main consulting room where most people get seen.
Uh-huh. When they come. Do people ever lie down on this couch?
Yeah, they do. I do hypno sometimes. Right?
It's not one of those from people. Obviously, there's no camera in here. I should take a picture, really.
Do you think?
No, maybe not. It's not one of those those curvy couches that you see in like posh New York.
No, we do a thing where people put their feet up there and they can just relax.
Drift away.
Just relax, Edward.
But don't fall asleep.
Just focus on your breath.
He's drooling. Oh, his iPad's gone. Yeah. A little venue for us, but it's quite good in here, actually. It's quite good for this. But how are you doing? You had a good week?
I'm very good. I'm always good. I'm working towards my metric marathon before I'm going to take a break for a couple of weeks, where I won't be doing lots of mad exercise, so I'm kind of working up to that.
Break from work as well?
A little bit.
Of course, in your life, there's no such thing as work. Life.
That's true.
It's all life,
just,
isn't it?
It's just being alive and enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got cat issues this week. I was thinking about you and throwing cats out. There's been a circus has been camped up around the corner.
Yeah, I meant to mention that. I drove past it last week when I came by.
They've got an extended stay because everyone keeps going there. But the thing that there's protesters outside every time they've got a show on because they've got lions and tigers in there.
Right.
Which seems kind of outrageous in this day and age. We've still got animals.
It's a bit weird that there's like a tiger within a mile of where we are.
Yeah, apparently they've got a bear in there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been over there to have a look?
No. Well, I run past them when I do my morning run. And there's a field full of horses. And I think, can the horses smell the tigers and the lions? I wonder what kind of effect that has on them.
Mm.
Cat issues,
blimey. Okay, yeah.
I didn't want to join the protesters, but I kind of understood why they were there.
It's a bit weird. Like, I don't know. Circuses, as a kid, I used to like going to circus, but they are a bit kind of.
Yeah, well, there's loads of circuses that don't have animals.
Did you ever work in a circus? You're the kind of guy, you probably had a job in a circus.
No, Andy Puddicombe did. He was a clown, wasn't he?
What's he? You're a clown with an iPad with the neck.
My iPad keeps trying to commit suicide. Stay there!
He's a good therapist. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know one? Yeah. So, have you thrown any cats out of any windows lately?
No cat issues. I did the cat that I threw out the window, which is safe and sound. For people who don't know what went on, listen, last week it's all fine. It didn't have a lot of far to go, and it interrupted my night's sleep.
And it bounced.
I saw it a couple of days after, and it was trying to get in our house again. Actually, in the day, and it's getting a bit cheeky.
It's a bit. Glutton for punishment.
I know. I mean, it knows what's coming. But apart from that, yeah, all good.
Maybe it was coming in because it thought it could throw you out the window and get it soon.
Yeah, it's getting a bit cheeky. But yeah, all good really. But we're talking about travel as therapy this week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Which we'll get to shortly. There will be an accompanying blog post on there already is on the website. Go to liveinthepresent.co.uk for that, for all the show notes and links that we're about to talk about and to get your hands on some cool bits and bobs, resources that you will change your life. Isn't that right, Sean?
They will, totally, completely, and utterly.
Marvellous. Right, well.
Is that a good strap line, do you think?
That's pretty good, man. I don't know how many words that was, but I quite liked it. Right, I saw an article on Philosopher's Mail, which was one of my resources of the week a while back, about travel as therapy. I don't think that was the title, but basically, I saw it and I thought, right, we need to talk about that because it's holiday season in the UK, really. It's nice and hot, so everyone goes off abroad. and then does nothing in the winter and sticks it out. But
that, it's weird, isn't it? Why do people do that in Britain? Why don't
We have talked about that. I think we did a travel episode way back when.
We did do, yeah.
Which we will link up again. But this is more along the lines of... Because the idea behind this blog, which we'll expand upon, was that people go on holiday to the wrong places and for the wrong reasons, and that... travel agents should have a bigger responsibility to tell us where we need to go after hearing a bit about how we're doing in our lives and that kind of thing.
Do you think like it should be a personalised service, like you arrive at the travel agent who sits down?
I haven't done any research. I bet there's probably something swanky like that out there.
Yeah, probably. But lots of travel agents are about selling a product, aren't they? They've got products to sell.
Well, so. Or we go in there knowing where we want to go and what's your best price and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll be going for price.
And to be honest, most people do. Well, most, I don't know. It's online now, isn't it? It's kind of Booking.com, Expedia, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Airbnb, if you want to book a nice apartment somewhere. Yeah. But I'll just read a quick paragraph from this and then we'll dive in for our own take. And it says, before going anywhere near an airport, we should get clearer in our minds where we are on our inner journey and then think very carefully about how we could match the inner destination with a place in the world that would assist us in appropriating it successfully.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I read that pretty well.
Yeah, I get that. But I guess it comes down to the reasons for why we're going away.
Well, why do we go away, Sean?
Well, I think that people go away for a variety of reasons.
Uh-huh.
Most people go away because that's what you do.
Uh-huh.
Many people that I work with go away and hate it. Come back and tell me what a lousy time they had, either a lousy time with their partner, their family, or with the situation, or it rained, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of difficult things about going away. But the main reason people go away therapeutically is that when you're on holiday, the levels of adrenaline and cortisol, the stress hormones in your system, start to come down. Yeah. So when you're doing your normal everyday working, those stress hormones are bumbling along at your normal level, which is probably quite high in our society. And when you go on holiday, you go on Friday, it takes you about Tuesday to arrive on holiday because they have to come down to that level, which is therapeutic.
Yeah.
But when you come back, you've got the reverse problem because you now have low levels of adrenaline cortisol and you need them up as high octane fuel to be able to do your work. So you go to work on the Monday when you come back from holiday and you think, I just can't get going here. Oh my God. And it takes you several weeks. It can take you a month sometimes to get the levels back up to where they were before you went away.
Right.
And then you say, I feel like I've never been away.
I've heard people say that before. I've probably been guilty of saying that. Yeah.
And it's because the chemistry's back up again.
Right.
So the one of the issues has to be that if the therapy in going away, the de-stressing effect is it lowers your chemistry, which makes you feel good, so you feel relaxed and chilled, what could you be doing in an everyday sense so that you're on holiday maybe part of every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, there's more and more articles coming out now and kind of people publishing reports about how we should be working less and 4-day work weeks. I've even read about how a 3-day work week globally increase productivity.
I can believe that.
Which is quite interesting. Yeah.
It's hard in a capitalist system to get capitalist drivers to understand that. You know, when they're driven by creating more money, the concept has to be that the longer you get people out there working, then the more you're going to get out of them.
Yeah, I guess people would need to be paid the same, but even then, you can have 2-3 extra days off, and people tend to spend money on their days off doing nice things, don't they?
So you get more money in the economy.
Yeah, but you could be getting paid less, more than likely. But I don't know, it would be quite interesting, but it's not going to happen. But I would quite like it to. I mean, I'm self-employed, so I kind of do my own thing. I probably work more now than when I had a job, actually.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it goes. Work life and all that stuff, eh?
That's true. I do more than I would do if I was employed.
Yep. By somebody. A pal of mine warned me about that, actually. And, I kind of knew he was right, but went ahead anyway, ploughed on. And
yeah.
But I enjoy it, you know, it's worked out.
Yeah.
Because it's all for me and that kind of thing. The family. Why do we travel? Yeah, relaxation, I've got written down. I like to go away for a bit of an adventure as well. I had that cycling trip recently.
So not necessarily relaxation, but stimulation.
Yeah.
Other way around.
Other way around, man.
Yeah, I think that's right. And when you start to look at why do people go, you're then looking at where do they go. I mean, you've just been up to Scotland, didn't you, a few weeks ago, and you were cycling across the mountains, which means you've got to have some mountains to cycle across.
Yep.
Yeah, because that was the object of the idea.
I could have gone to North Wales.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the Highlands, actually. That was part of the reason.
So there's an interest factor, and there's an excitement factor. There was a bonding factor with the guy you're doing it with.
Yeah.
There's lots of different things going on in that that you could see as being beneficial at both kind of an emotional, psychological level as well as a physical level.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess one of the things is when we were talking about the idea of should an estate agent, not an estate agent, should a travel agent indeed.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Should a travel agent actually spend more time trying to understand their customer rather than just trying to lump a product on them?
Mm.
Maybe we as individuals need to be more aware of what it is that we want.
Yep.
You know, what is it that we want to get out of going on holiday?
Because mm-hmm.
I think lots of people in Britain go away on holiday to have a British experience somewhere hot. You know, they want British food. They want
same
the British
but different.
Pub.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that is a bit of a travesty because you miss the opportunity to expand your experience of the world, whether that's gastronomic or whether it's talking to people. And one of the things which is really, really embarrassing, I think, about being British is that very few British people speak foreign languages.
Mm.
Yeah, most people, and it's a problem because English is the main language in the world.
Just talk louder.
Yes, yes, and then people are really going to understand what you say. But it is embarrassing. I can remember going to France as a kid on a school trip and picking up the courage to go into a shop. And there's a peach. So I go in and I say to the man, une pêche, s'il vous plaît. And the guy says, oh, yeah, the peaches are over there in the corner in English. You know, and I'm thinking, that's not the idea. I was trying to learn French here. Yeah, and you do get that a lot.
Mange tout.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's a shame.
It is, yeah, no. I mean, I went to Italy a few months ago for a wedding, and I don't speak Italian, but the weeks leading up, there's an app called Duolingo, little green owl is the icon, and it'll teach you, well, if you stick at it, it'll teach you a lot of different languages
right.
In quick snap as well.
Yeah.
So I went through the first few stages of that, which was good fun. And yeah. I learned a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
And I used a little bit when I was away, and I thought it was good fun.
Yeah. Could people understand what you were saying?
Yeah, man. And they appreciate it as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just about making connections with these other people that you can't speak to, but you... little glint in the eye and all that, and it's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to go abroad for that, you know, you can go, like, in Scotland. They may soon be leaving our wonderful United Kingdom. Hopefully not, but...
Yeah, hopefully not. But that would make it like going abroad. Is it like going abroad in Scotland, do you think?
No, well, I don't know. Although, I didn't know they had, you know, like in Wales, they have the Welsh on the road signs.
Yeah,
I was getting up to the Highlands and they had the...
They do, yeah, there's Gaelic.
Yeah, I think it was Gaelic, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that. So I learned all that.
And they have their own language, especially up in the Islands, they have their own language radio programmes. I'm not sure about TV programmes, because Welsh TV is here, isn't it?
S4C.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, we can pick that up here, can't we?
Yeah, but for me, when I go across Europe, I don't feel like I've gone abroad. I feel like I'm travelling in something that feels very comfortable and familiar.
Yeah.
We have shared road signs, I guess. We have similar toilets and all that kind of stuff. So everything seems kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you get into countries where things are significantly different for me that I feel like I'm really travelling. I'm really doing something.
Yeah, well, I haven't done the whole kind of Far East thing, and I've been in California. That's as far afield, but I mean, it's America, so like it's the same but different, innit?
Yeah.
You know. So I've never been to Africa, but I imagine spots. Well, getting to Africa would be quite a culture shock.
Yeah, I want to walk the Camino, and the which is the Walk of St. James, which goes right away across to the top of Spain. And it's a pilgrim's route, and I've got lots of reasons why I'd like to walk it. It takes a month, it takes 30 days, 500 kilometres to do it. And walking that distance in what is effectively in the country and stopping in little towns and doing things on the way through the mountains, to me is a way of travelling and a way of the therapeutic bit about being in another place.
Yep.
But it's the slowness of the journey, because human beings weren't designed to travel 100 miles an hour in aeroplanes.
It's pretty slow for an aeroplane, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But the idea that a plane picks you up, transports you through space and drops you down, so you miss all the bit in the middle.
Mm.
And one of the things that I do really appreciate about being with Ree is she doesn't like flying. And because she doesn't like flying, I mean, she would fly if I got on a case and said, you must fly. But she doesn't like it. So we tend to drive places. So, and you can drive virtually anywhere these days. But what it means is that you can stop and you can divert and you can go places and you can see all kinds of things that you'd never see if you were on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, which is really good. I like that. It's good.
For sure. I mean, biking's brilliant as well. Obviously, yeah. I did my little route, but you can do like London to Paris in next to no time, really, on a half decent bike. That'd be a good little...
On a pedal bike?
Yeah.
It's 5 days they do it.
Right. You do it faster than that.
Well, no, they've just done a thing, one hospital, so they did a charity thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, where they did London to Paris, and it was 5 days. They were doing like 80 miles a day.
That's pretty good going, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty good going. I do know like an ultra endurance athlete as a part of my circle of Facebook friends, and he did it, I think, in 2 days. Yeah, I think he slept over one night, and it's just, he's unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you're that kind of person that can get into the rhythm of something like that.
Yeah, you but what will he have seen apart from, yeah, maybe his kind of knees pumping away, you know. Obviously, that's not why he did it. He just loves that challenge and just racking up the miles. But
yeah,
that's a different kind of therapy, isn't it? He wouldn't appreciate the type of holiday that plunks you on a beach and sits there for 2 weeks.
You know, driving mad, maybe.
Yeah, I assume.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had that kind of beach holiday? I don't remember you ever saying you've been away somewhere like
that. No, what we tend to do, say we go to Italy, what we'll do is we'll have a day which is a kind of a swimming day, you know, lying around kind of day, and then the next day we're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of vary it a bit. But it is nice to have a day where you just cool off by getting in the pool or getting in the sea or the lake or wherever you are, but just to be fairly still doing nothing. You know, nothing active in that sense.
Some good walking around that part of the world too, in the Italian lakes, eh?
Yeah.
Getting up in them hills.
Well, you can go, because you've got the winter ski lifts, you can take them up in the summer and then walk along the top of the mountains, which is amazing because you have the most amazing views.
Yeah.
You have this wonderful, you got all the flowers come out on the top of the mountain.
Mm.
And that's absolutely beautiful up there.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, we'll join you there one year if you'll have us.
Yeah.
That'd be good fun,
that. Love to. I mean, the other place that we go to is we go up to the Lake District here.
Oh, yeah.
In Britain.
You've got your house there that you...
North Yorkshire, that bit. Yeah. And it's amazing up there. I mean, it's really, it is in many ways like being in the Italian lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Food isn't as good as it is in Italy. But it's a different kind of way of approaching food. But it's... the scenery is stunning. Amazing place to be. And that is something that really affects my... adrenaline, cortisol levels, brings them right down. And just feeling, relaxed, really good.
Yeah. But would you want to be like that all the time?
No.
You wouldn't, would you? Me neither.
No. I think that to have, for me, to have things to do, to be driven, is one of the purposes of being alive. I think at the moment when I stop having that drive to do things is where you need to hang up your guns and go and do something else. You know?
Shuffle off. Yeah.
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 All right, so in this very room, but this couch here has got some stories to tell in it, but when people do you tend to advise people to take a break, or are people ever ask you, I need to take a break, any ideas where I should go?
Sometimes, but then I suppose I would take on the role of what you're talking about with the travel agent, because it's like, what do you want? You know, what do you want to get out of this? And very often people have been through traumatic situations where they need to go somewhere to recuperate. Yeah, and very often the kind of places that the traditional Brit would go on holiday would be just too busy and mad. You know, they need somewhere where they can be still and be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are several organisations based around here that do activity kind of holidays where you can go away and do golfing and walking and yoga or whatever your thing is.
Yep.
And those are good for people that, especially if they're on their own,
mm-hmm.
and they need to get away for the therapeutic holiday, but they have got no one to go with.
Yeah.
And that can be a good thing.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I mean, I guess families as well, if you've got more than one person or more than two people, it's easier in a couple, I guess. But if you've got four or five people that need to go away for a break, then you kind of, there's a certain level of compromise there, isn't there? It's not like, let's just head off to Thailand and trek up the coast for 3 weeks.
Well, one of the problems with that is that how much compromise is going on? How much people actually going and doing what they want to do, which allows those levels of chemistry to come down. Because if you're going away doing something that you don't want to do because that's what the family is doing, you can come back more stressed than you went away.
Yeah.
Which isn't, there's no point in that, is there? Why do it? Why spend the money to go and have a miserable time?
I know. Well, thinking about it too, I mean, obviously we are all more than capable of being, well, we always have, but now more than ever with the web, we are all travel agents, aren't we?
Yeah.
And for our honeymoon, we went to California 4 years ago. And talk about kind of happiness being the journey, not the destination. It was amazing 2.5 weeks we had. But I really enjoyed the planning, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I researched every... I spoke to a travel agent beforehand and thought about it, but then I took ownership of it and I plotted and researched every hotel. We had 4 stops along the way.
Yeah.
From San Francisco to LA. Stayed in a little town called San Luis Obispo, which was a really cool little place. Big Sur. And there's only a few little places in Big Sur that you can stay, but I found a place called Tree Bones. So, like, I felt as if before I got there, I knew them really well.
Yeah.
In fact, Big Sur, it's the coast road down from San Francisco. Amazing scenery. And it's quite hard to spot this Tree Bones resort. You stay in yurts there. And I was on Google Maps trying to, because I was driving as well. I didn't want to miss the turn. And there was a tree on Google Maps just before the turn. And I was driving down the road, you know, a month later. And I saw the tree and it was like, whoa. Really weird, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the whole planning is what I really enjoy all that stuff.
Yeah.
As well, you know, the trips I've done to the Alps, the mountaineering trips, which aren't, you don't, I guess you wouldn't categorise them as holidays. But it's travel, right? So
it's the experience which is away from your normal, isn't it? You're starting to focus into things and see new horizons, new ideas, new smells, new tastes. I mean, that's something which is very profound for me, is that countries smell different, you know? And a lot of that has to do with food and things like that. But you can tell, if you're in France, France smells like France and doesn't smell a bit like Italy.
Yeah.
It's a different smell. Yeah,
talking about the kind of the when you get picked up and dropped off, you know, 1,000 miles away, the shock of getting off a plane sometimes into that heat is quite powerful, isn't it?
I can remember taking my mother to the Canary Islands. So we left, I think it was the 2nd of January, and it was something like 2 below here, and we stepped out a couple of hours later in the night into like 60 degrees.
Whoa!
And it was like walking into an oven.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked out, and we're all in shorts and T-shirts because it's so hot to us, and all the locals are wearing jumpers and things because they were cold. Which is crazy. Yeah, relativity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are we going for what? Are we going for heat? Are we going for relaxation? What do we want? I mean, people do come back, and it's been raining all the time they've been away, and then they're really miserable because they feel like they've missed out on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people go to get a bit of colour in their skin, which vitamin D, right?
Yeah, vitamin D. Vitamin D is a big thing. It's useful if you're very tired, if you've got weight that you can't lose. Generally, if you've got sort of physical niggles and complaints, to get your vitamin D checked. A lot of evidence coming out, the vitamin D actually acts like a hormone. We used to think that it was a vitamin. But vitamin D is now starting to be described as a hormone if you read the up-to-date research.
Yep.
Because of the effect that it has on the system. And one of the main effects that it has in the endocrine as a hormone is that it starts to affect the levels of serotonin. So one of the things about us feeling good, having lots of serotonin in the brain, we can now relate back to vitamin D and sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the mechanism.
Episode 3, man, that's sunshine.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
We should do another. We should do a vitamin D episode because. Is that a standard kind of blood test? You get that result?
You can do. Yeah. Most doctors think you're bonkers when you're going in to get it, because the understanding and the knowledge isn't there yet.
Mm.
But if you look at a research level, as we start to understand vitamin D as not as a vitamin but as a hormone, and we look at the effects it has on the endocrine system,
yeah,
it will change the way that medicine is enacted, I suspect, over the next few years.
Mm.
But it's still kind of cutting edge.
I went to get a cholesterol I checked this morning, or a blood test.
Yeah.
I'm on like 6 monthly just to keep an eye on it. Kind of hereditary thing. Well, I think it must be. But I was wondering whether when I get my results back, because usually I just phone up and I get the number for cholesterol. But next time, or when the results are ready, I want to get the full breakdown of everything that's in, if I'm allowed. Will the doctor release all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, in Britain, you can claim your medical records anyway, so you can get a copy of it all under the Freedom of Information Act.
Beautiful.
If you ask your GP, as long as your GP is user-friendly, they'll work with you on it.
Yep.
I mean, very often GPs are quite fascinated when they've got a patient who's actually interested in what's going on. It's a different level of conversation that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can discuss what you'd like out of your medications.
Okay, I'm going to raise the game. I'm going to see if he or she is. I don't actually know what the name is. It's like a big medical practice that I've just kind of just opened near us. So
is it with your cholesterol? Is it that you need to take meds for it? Or is it
not yet?
You just need to keep an eye on it?
Just keep an eye on it, yeah. My uncle does. He's on statins, which I've seen a couple of. Well, it's the thing on the internet, man. For every article saying how great something is, there's another one saying how it's the worst thing in the world. My mum has high-ish cholesterol, but isn't on statins. So it's just something I keep an eye on.
We need cholesterol in our system. If without cholesterol, your nervous system wouldn't function properly. It feeds the myelin sheath, the protective, brain tissue. We tend to get a bit obsessive these days about things like blood pressure and stuff like that. But we don't know what people's blood pressure has been like over thousands and thousands of years, millions of years, because it was never measured.
Yeah.
We still have a lot more understanding that we need about how the body functions.
I'll let you know how it is. But it's not dangerously high or anything, not even close, actually. But keep an eye on it, eh? Just interested. I just like kind of the game of getting the number down.
So far,
it's just eat less cheese, and that's doing the trick.
Yeah, well, that's my thing about dairy. Don't like dairy. Not good for you.
Yeah.
Not good for you.
We need to do a dairy episode, eh?
Yeah, I think dairy should be banned.
Oof. There you go. Horrendous. Okay. I found a link. Well, I didn't find it. I did. So someone sent it to me, called nomadlist.io. And actually, the story behind it is quite interesting. There's a guy that's setting up 12 companies in 12 months, like digital startups.
No.
And his third one is Nomadlist, which is quite a simple website when you get to it. It's a rank of cities in the world that potentially you could go and move to work from. Now that obviously the guys like me that can just pick up the laptop and
go
and work anywhere. And it ranks places by average kind of monthly cost of living, broadband speed and that kind of thing as well, like safety.
Yeah.
And there's more cities being added all the time, but have a look at that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we travel places, we find places that we'd like to stay longer, don't we?
Yeah. One of the problems is when you find somewhere that you really like, I go through this conflict about, do I tell other people about it? Because then it's going to suddenly be inundated with people, and it's going to lose the very thing that I found in getting there. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I feel like I'm being a bit selfish about the places that I like.
I'm a bit like that in Northumberland, my little part of Northumberland.
Yeah.
We did introduce you to it.
And it is beautiful. It is an area of the country that is unknown to so many people.
Uh-huh.
But lovely, beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean, but have a look at Nomadlist. I mean, I like to live in San Francisco, but it's horrendously expensive, and it's a long way away, and the grandparents would not allow.
What is it about that lifestyle that gets for you?
I don't know, man. There's just an attitude over there, the get-up-and-go thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be one of those kind of hipster guys kind of riding around on a single-speed bike with a weird hat on or anything like that. When I was there, I just felt right at home. San Francisco was cool.
And the thing that I like about that attitude is the can-do.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of can't-do in Europe. There's a lot of can-do
in
the stuff.
I'm sure there's a lot of issues in San Francisco. In fact, there are, from a lot of people I follow based there on Twitter. And, there's stuff going on, but it's a big bustling city, right?
But it also might end up in the sea if the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, blimey.
Could be under the water.
True, very true. Yeah. All right. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Sean?
No, I'm good. I'm good. What I'd say to people is, if you're going to invest your time in having a holiday, and you're going to enjoy it.
And potentially a lot of money as well.
It is a lot of money for lots of people. Yeah, they're saving up for it all year, very often. Yeah. If you're going to do that, make sure you go somewhere that serves you well.
Yes.
And that means you need to sit down and really think about what it is that you're going to get out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I meet too many people that come back from holidays thinking, well, that was a waste of time. Didn't enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not just be where you're going. It may be who you're going with. And maybe it is better that if the family kind of splits a bit and some of the family go one place and some of the family go another place.
Well, I'm quite fortunate. Again, yeah, my lovely wife Bethan's pretty cool with me heading off every now and again to do this cycling trip. I've been to the Alps twice to go climbing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that she particularly enjoyed doing, so she was cool. And she said, you go do that and I'll stay at home, but come back in one piece, which I did. I have done.
You do your best to come back.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you're right, though, and... Yeah, it's a lot of money, and there's a quote, isn't it, Steve Jobs thing about not living out someone else's dreams and not don't go on someone else's holiday.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
But the thing is that if you go on your holiday and you get it right, then the travel is therapy.
Mm.
If you don't, it's not. Yeah.
And have some fun watching, have fun kind of planning it as well. Like get some Michael Palin documentaries inside you, and there's loads of travel. Even like extreme fishing on... Well, it's not on Channel 5 anymore. You know, Robson Green.
Yeah.
It's about fishing, but I think it's a great travel show because it just goes to these amazing places. Obviously, it tends to be off the coast fishing, but loads of travel stuff on telly, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. But travel is a bit like cooking, isn't it? It's one of those things that you can sit in an armchair and look at and pretend that you're doing without actually ever going and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about here is actually getting out of the chair and doing it.
Getting out there and doing it, yeah. Breathing in that unique air and smell.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Love it.
You got a resource of the week?
Yeah, my resource of the week is TravelPod,
mm-hmm.
which is a little app that you can stick up on your pad. And it's brilliant because the way that it's set up, you can record all the things that you're doing and you can stick your photos in it.
Cool.
And it's good a way of creating good coherent memories of where you've been and things that you can go back to.
Very nice.
So that you can create what you want. It's good.
We'll have a look at that. Yeah, I've noted that one. Mine's another it's a web app, and I think there is an iPhone Android app as well, called Trippy, TRIPPY. And Trippy exists to encourage more people to travel, which is a simple little strap line, but I felt it was quite relevant to today's topic.
Yeah.
Trippy.com. And yeah, it's full of places or ideas of places to visit, and interesting as well, you can ask a question about a place you might be going to and the community, which is bustling and growing, and will respond to you, or you'll probably find that there's already a whole list. In fact, there's already stuff for Liverpool. People have asked questions about Liverpool and replied.
I guess that's something which is important, isn't it? If we are going to travel around and we're going to experience the world, to share it on, you know, that TripAdvisor, there's loads of things out there that you can actually make comments on that other people, when they are researching and looking for their experiences, maybe that's helpful if we share.
Oh, yeah, get involved. It does encourage you not just to read all this stuff, but to sign up for an account. And you're encouraged to talk about the place you live, not just the places you've been to, but where you live, and help people that are coming to travel to, say, Liverpool.
Yep.
So you know all those little quiet places that might not be on the tourist radar.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So Trippy.com, pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
Next week, we're going to do a food episode.
Yeah.
Food, weight, that kind of thing, and kind of... You got any ideas, Sean?
we get...
stuck. Help.
No. You're in there. We're on the money, man. It goes back to the vitamin D thing, in a sense. But we're in a situation in Britain where we're getting more and more obese, and it's getting quicker and quicker and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need some awareness in what we are doing. What are we doing? Part of it is the food that we're given, we're presented with, because we don't discriminate enough. But also there are lots of emotional and psychological issues in food. They're about food and mood.
Sure.
You know, so I think we need to get stuck into that a bit. Certainly in the work, you met Conrad on the show, anyone's listening to this a few episodes ago.
Yep.
Conrad and I do work with people collectively these days, where he's doing the physical end and I'm doing the emotional psychological end. And we are working with people to be, so they can change their body image and lifestyle, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a big issue. It's a big
deal. Also for people that have a perfectly healthy body shape but aren't happy as well. Like
yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like, you know.
Dysmorphic experience.
It's a big deal, right, man? Yeah. It's crazy, so I'd like to pick your brains on that as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll get stuck into that. It's good.
Okay, right. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. We've mentioned quite a bit there, I do believe. So head on over and have a look. Lots of freebies and not freebies as well. Get Live in the Present, the book. Makes a perfect Christmas present. Can I mention Christmas? Is it too soon?
No. I am working on the second edition.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm hoping can be out Christmas, New Year, that kind of period.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Some new bits and bobs? Or?
Yeah, some additions, really. A lot of the additions that I'm putting in at the moment are coming out of things that people are feeding me back from either having used the book or having used the course. Mm-hmm. So it's add-ons.
Cool.
A lot of it, yeah.
But get yourself the first edition because it'll be worth millions one day. Squillions.
Yeah.
Right, all right. Have a good couple of weeks, Sean.
I will do. And you, Edward.
I'll see you soon.
Take care. See ya.
Bye, everyone. See ya.
Bye.